the container is now open. Are you looking for adventure? Are you looking for a magical path? Then you need circling in your life. Today, we talk with John Thompson, one of the founders of Circling Europe and one of the fathers of the surrendered leadership approach. Today, he tells us about his path, where he went from being a seeker looking for answers to finding circling, this art that allows him a direct path into the magic of the moment. If you haven't discovered circling for yourself yet, this is the conversation for you. And if you're already a circler, this is an incredible insight into the practice from one of the true masters in the world. This is the first part of the Containers interview with John Thompson. Well, John Thompson, welcome to the Container.
Thank you. Good to be here.
For listeners, you probably need no introduction because you're a founding member of Circling Europe, which is this this entire galaxy in the circling universe, and has spawned many subsequent groups, including like the community that Sai and I learned in. Was really like from that tradition. But I think before talking about circling and the ideas and the history of circling, I'm wondering what your path has been like, and like what brought you to the relational arts, and what brought John Thompson from a little infant to here?
that's a good question, because I often wonder, like, how the hell did I end up doing this stuff? Like, it was not part of the plan. And yeah, some of the stuff like I do in circling, like, it can get quite far out, and I'm like, man, I'm a normal person. Like, certainly up until the age of 25, I felt very normal, kind of in line with societal expectations, and it was actually at 25, me and Sean had an experience on holiday that was very life-changing. And I think that was a very pivotal moment that opened all kinds of things. We experienced synchronicity, which felt like kind of my first experience of a kind of magic. And my whole sense of purpose and meaning completely changed in this crazy week's holiday, where I wanted to dedicate my life to making a difference in the world, doing meaningful work, growing, supporting others to grow. And that was the real beginning of quite a shift in my life, which was quite shocking for my friends, because I did kind of change overnight, it seemed. And that started me off on this path of liberation, of personal growth, of like exploration, of being all in. And then circling came along 5 or 6 years later, and then I was like, this is the thing, this is the tool, this is the way, this is where the magic is. Like, this is. And then just dedicating to that, and then having 15 years of crazy experience and gifts and challenges and magic again. Yeah.
So that makes me curious about what the pre-circling magic stuff was.
Yeah, I mean, the strongest memory was this. So we were on holiday, we met these, me and Sean, we'd only been friends a few years, but there was quite a deep connection between us. We met these other two women on holiday and had this incredible bond. And the four of us had this life-changing week, and there was one moment towards the end of the week where it was almost like we became one organism, it felt. It was like we were second guessing each other's moves, and it was all based around love and just supporting each other. And we had never experienced something like that. And yeah, the one moment when I got up and I was going to take a shower and someone just handed me the towel, and she didn't even know why she did that. And she had no idea that I was wanting to go and take a shower. And that, it was like, wow, we've kind of, the bonding, the connection between us is so strong that it's like synchronicities, or there's like a greater intelligence at work, something like that. And it did just totally shift our, that was one element of it, but there were just multiple elements of like heart opening and this sense of purpose of like, God, like now's the time to do like the most meaningful work. Or like, I knew I was going to quit my job, which was a good job and like my friends were jealous of, and I knew I was going to just quit it and go and do volunteer work in developing countries. And like those kind of things dawned on me in that week, and I did go and do those things, and it was amazing.
Wow.
So could you tell us then how you discovered circling? What was, I imagine that was a pretty magical moment.
Yeah. So we had kind of been on a path, you could say, for 5 or 6 years since that holiday. And we had done a lot of different modalities by then. And we were trained coaches and yeah, it had cool experiences. We'd read all kinds of stuff. And then we heard about circling and we thought, didn't think much of it, but they just suggested a practice. We heard about it on a podcast and they suggested a practice where you look in each other's eyes and don't speak until there's something deeply meaningful to speak. So we did that, and two English guys, typical normal English guys, looking in each other's eyes. And at first it was a bit like we were just giggling and like, what is this? And then after a couple of minutes, it just started, like we started to feel like we were on drugs. And that was just like, what the, like, how can this be happening? Like starting to feel stoned and like altered experience and just loving that. And like, wow. So we were in that for 5 or 10 minutes. And then it was like intuitions started to come up. Like I just got this intuition about like Sean's past. And I just said something out of the blue, like, did something happen to you? And he just like, it was like it landed so strong in him. And he started to get all these flashbacks from childhood trauma, essentially. But in a way that was empowering for him, it was like joining dots. So, and it was almost like we went back to that time when he was a young child. It felt like we'd like zoomed back in a movie, and we're like now with 3-year-old Sean with all this horrible stuff happening with him, around him in his environment. And I'm just there with him and we're like, how has this happened? And then that went on for 20 minutes and then somehow it went back to me. He said something to me that was just like, whoa, that like just like the in the Star Wars where the shot goes right through to the middle of the Death Star. And it's just like, oh, okay. And then we kind of closed off and we felt this like this connection at the end that was like, so we had kind of bonded in new ways. So it was just on a relational level. It's like, wow, it feels so good just to be together. Our friendship has just got a load better. But we'd also had drugs-like experiences, and we'd had these like deep, deep insights that, you know, we would occasionally get in coaching or therapy or something like that. But it was like, it just seemed like almost like 10x of what we were used to. So that was just such a peak experience. And then we're like, okay, we need to explore this further. We need to go and meet the founders, which we did. We went to San Francisco that summer and we met the founders and connected with them. And I did the same the next summer. I just dedicated the summer to learning circling and kind of shadowing them. And then when I got back home, we were in a town in England. We just had this sense of like, no one knew about circling then. It was like, but we were just like, we got to practice this. We've got to do this. Like, let's try and do it every night, even like after work. And we didn't manage it every night, but over a 2-year period, it was at least once a week that we would meet in that kind of practice. And especially after a stressful day, it was hard. It's like hard to really like sit, be present, look at the other, like face the other and tell the truth of what comes up in that.
Mm.
Yeah. Should I keep going? I think I've answered your question, but
yeah, I notice
as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking about it's causing me to think about like our journey of circling and just how fascinating this practice is in the sense that that connection is it's available. It's just available. It's in the field and ready to connect into. And the experience Jonathan and I had is I'm just so similar to what you're describing with Sean over, you know, over time. And then we even made a practice of 90, we did 90 circles in 90 days.
Shout out to my 12-step listeners who will recognize what that's from.
And so sometimes it was on the phone, but, you know, we tried to do it in person and anywhere from like 5 minutes to 20 minutes. But the realizing like the connection, I don't know, the points that you're describing of like that depth and the way that it trains you, like it's a training, it's a, the practice trains you. And then you take that out into the world and it just so quickly with years of meditation practice, years of mindfulness practice and all these types of things that we've done. And then we found this and we were like,
yeah,
this is different and really important and special. And I just love that. Yeah. That there's those similarities and overlaps. It adds more, even more like something, you know?
Yeah. Almost like circling sets up this archetypal journey that you're gonna, you know, if you're the kind of person that circling works for, it's, there is a total like arc.
Exactly. It's so nice to hear you say that, because it's like, yeah, when I think of the defining moments that I've had in circling, that's, it's exactly, it's like it starts this, like you suddenly become the hero in your movie and you start experiencing things that, yeah, it then weren't on my radar before. Like, what, this can happen in life and this is real. Like this isn't like just like I'm not tripping out. Like this is getting to the core of what actually matters to me in life.
I'm getting goosebumps. Can you talk about that? Yeah, I remember this feeling, especially in after about like the first couple months of circling, there was kind of, we had like kind of a circling crew that got formed.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember feeling so, so turned on. Like I felt like in the mate, I mean, this is such a, this is not the first time someone's used the Matrix film as a metaphor for how they were. Anyways, though, I really did feel like I was in this group of people who were seeing reality in the, for what it really was. It feels like gnosis, like real gnosis. And I had spent years meditating and doing like occult rituals and doing different psychological modalities, and they would give me a little bit, and then circling, I like all of my power, or what seemed like all of my power, suddenly came online. And then all of those modalities, now I'm way better at meditating. I'm way better at tarot. I'm way better at IFS, like understanding my own parts. It's all because of circling, though. Like circling unlocked all that power.
Yeah, then we go back to those things and we're like, I've read this book, but I did not read see it before. And now it's just there. It's It's amazing. Yeah.
And there's something, yeah, I just love that you had such a shared experience. Like, we had never met, like, this, however many degrees of separation between us, there's a connection, but like, you've just had this in this different place, this different time, like a very similar thing. And it's been life-changing for you. And there's this dedication in you that I sense as well. And it's just incredible.
Yeah, I know. I'm feeling like so warm, ooey gooey, thinking about that again, that awakening to circling. So, but this is something that's much different about when we learned circling. This was post Circling Europe. This was post all of these developments. You learned circling back when it was, I imagine, like mostly Guy and Decker out in San Francisco, and like maybe a little bit going on in Boulder, but it's like a much smaller thing of field that was less discovered, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, and circling, like the way Integral and like Circling Institute circling is so much different from where y'all ended up. So I'm kind of curious about the first circles y'all did with Guy and Decker, and then how you guys took that practice back home, but like before you create Circling Europe and figure out like what that really is going to look like. What was the experimentation?
Yeah. So when we first got out to San Francisco, we went to one of the parties. It was Authentic World was the organization. So that was Decker and Brian Baer's organization. And they were having a party, and we just got off the flight and we just went straight to the party. And Decker was like circling in really deep in with someone. And like, these were kind of like, this was the most I'd ever looked up to someone or just been like, man, we need to learn from these people. And there they were in the room at work, kind of at work. And we're just in this party with them. And then I just start chatting and they're telling me these stories, and I get waves and shivers of like, this is the future. Like, this is the leading edge, or like, this is the wave that I need to surf. And they were up for just meeting us. And like Decker said, it was like a Highlander when he saw us, it was like one Highlander seeing another one, which for us was like a massive compliment, because we, you know, he didn't know us. And but there was some sense of like, oh yeah, we've kind of been doing something similar, like with the eye gazing and just presencing, we called it together. It was like, okay, we have something ourselves that's similar. But when I heard about what they're doing, I'm like, this is the progression of that, or this is the next level. So I felt kind of not competitive in a bad way, but it was like me, Sean, and the other friend who we were with, I was like, okay, let's do eye gazing every morning, this two-week trip. Like, we need to be doing that if we want to grow as we can. And then we also, yeah, we got lucky. So we got to circle with Decker and Brian and Guy separately. And the one with Guy was like, we went in and we were paying him, and we ended up circling him for the first hour. And then we were like, what's going on here? And then suddenly it turned, and like, he took us crazy deep. And then we were like almost missing our plane back, and we had to just like get a taxi. We were right in the middle of like crazy depths between us. Like, Guy later referred to it as like this hit and run, like, who are these European guys? I've never heard of them. And they come and we go into these crazy realms. And then, so there was a magic on first meeting, but there was also a sense of like, we need to learn from them. And like, that's what I did the next summer. I just dedicated a month to come back to learn it, and it was on the last day I felt it landed in me, and I told Decker, I said, I get it, and then he got shivers, and then we went back to Europe. And I think what then started to happen was that, I guess, the difference that started to develop was like, we need to bring this into life, and we need to kind of do this a lot. Whereas I think they were, I don't know if this is fair, but there's a slight sense of like, oh, when they're circling, they do it. And then when they're out there, they're out.
Mm.
And we were just like a bit kind of hardcore with it. Like we would just be circling all the time in some ways, or we'd. And so we did that for a few years together. And we, at the time we thought like everyone must be doing this because like this, it's so good, but they weren't. And then when we did end up getting in the front of a room to lead it, like people could almost feel that we had done that training together. Like we did it at this festival in Holland, this spiritual festival, and we were two young English guys. No one knew us. We were just like making up the numbers. But by the end of the week, like everyone was coming to our workshop, and like established spiritual teachers were left with like 10 people in their workshop, and like everyone was coming to ours, and people could just feel this freshness. Like we were just revealing ourselves in the front of the room. They could see this connection between us. And then rather than like teaching in a really top down, we're like, right, you have a go. Let's do it together. And so it was like this we space and this empowerment, and people just felt it like, oh yeah, this is the future. And that was the beginning of Circling Europe for us. We were just, we had other jobs that we were really ambitious and happy in. And after this workshop, people just started asking us to come and lead places. And we, in the end, we had to quit our other jobs because we were like, we've got to follow this thread. I keep losing track of what I'm meant to be talking about, what the question was.
I love that.
Yeah, I know. I'm just like melted into the story right now. So I think I feel answered.
Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah, I remember the question. I am curious though, like at that point when you're early on showing groups of people circling, does it look the way that Circling Europe circles would look?
No. So at the beginning, it was much more similar to what they were doing in the US. We followed the same model pretty much. Everyone would be birthday circled. We would do a weekend event and we would just circle everyone. And that was it. And then it was about a year in of doing that Surrendered Leadership was born in a weekend.
I want to hear that story so bad. The birth of Surrendered Leadership.
Are you getting a lot out of this conversation? Or maybe you get a lot out of all the things that the container puts out. If that feels true to you, consider helping us out. There's three main ways you can support the show. The first one is by liking and subscribing if you're seeing this on YouTube, or giving us a review if you are listening to this as a podcast. The second major way is by going to patreon.com/thecontainer and supporting us with small monthly donations. The third and probably best way to support us is to summon the demon Mammon and make massive sacrifices to him on our behalf.
Well, that was it's a pretty strange story because, so this must have been like a, I don't know, seventh, eighth or ninth weekend that we were going to lead. And it was we did have slightly more numbers coming to this one. It was one in Holland, but it wasn't any different to the others. And for like 5 days before the event, I just had crazy nerves and crazy discomfort, which I've never had before in any, and I had no idea why. And this stayed, like even the days before, I was like I felt incredibly uncomfortable. And I just kept staying with it and sharing it with the team. And they were like, I don't know what this is. But and then once the event, and it was only like the minute the event started, it was like that energy just started to, through the connection, that energy, it's it, it's turned to good energy, basically. So what was all this discomfort, it just gave me this sense of total surrender and relaxation and into the connection. And there was a way where, like, I remember the opening of the workshop, it was like I actually surrendered to everyone in the room that was there. And I surrendered to whatever I was going to say. And it felt like words were just coming through me. And I'd never had that experience before. There was always some plan or strategy or some sense of responsibility as the leader to guide a process. And this was different, and I could feel it energetically. Something happened, like everyone felt more safe than normal and it started to go deeper than normal. And then the next day we came back after a round of birthday circles. So we were still had the plan to do, and we looked at each other and it was like we couldn't go to the next round. We were just like, we've got to surrender. So there was just kind of some knowing together. So we just went quiet, and we just went quiet in the group. And then the whole group kind of, I think that we felt that because there was already a presence. I don't know exactly where the causation is, but we then went into this unknown space as a group where everyone was co-creating and where archetypal themes started to come up. And there was no directionality from us as the leaders in terms of like how you would normally hold a workshop. There was just this letting go that we didn't expect. But it was like the calling. It was like circling was calling us to do that. It was like, if we're going to stay true to this birthday circle thing, and like, it's now saying, do this, like, shut up and surrender and see what comes.
I just, as you're saying the calling, I'm resonating so much with that, with where, when you're so tuned in and present and like dropped in, and you can feel things falling into you and coming out, like that experience has happened a handful of times to me, where it's like, I don't know why this is coming out and I don't know what it means. And then you find out, it like unfolds over time and you're like, that's what it was. You know, it's like, oh, that is,
yeah.
Ooh, I'm like getting chills thinking of that one time that happened at the library. I don't know I'll tell you later. But it's like you're in the stream and it's passing through and it's, that's the magic. So that's where so the and both of you looked at each other and had this experience of like, and then everybody started contributing or like sharing or kind of circling each other. Is that kind of what it was like?
Yeah, or just, it was like no one like said, why are you not leading? Or like, it was like there was this some shared knowing, and we just started going deeper and deeper. So it was an incredible weekend. And then the next time we came to lead, we were just like, we've got to do this again. So we just started the whole workshop in silence. And then people did start saying like, why aren't you leading? And like, what are you doing? And then we would just circle that and like be present with them. And so then we just started doing it all the time. We would still birthday circle occasionally, but we were like, there's a new form now. And we only got the name like 2 years later, but we just went with it. And it was wild, because I would say it's less extreme now. I like to think we've just kept the gold from it. But in the like creating of the gold, we were quite stubborn with it. Like, so we obviously had a belief in it, but yeah, people would get super triggered by it at times, and people would say, I'm leaving this is rubbish. And then we would be circling them like almost on the way as they're leaving the workshop. Like, how is that actually like for you? Like you've come to this workshop, and then often they would be like, I actually feel quite seen now that you say that. Okay, I'm going to stay. So it was edgy. And I remember we started one training in New York and people had flown in from Mexico and different places and paid quite a lot of money for this training. And we just started in silence. And it wasn't like we were trying to fuck with people. It was just like that was what was true. And then people started kicking off. And we're kind of looking at each other just like, I don't know what to do, or like, what is this? But then like by the end of that day, the rapport and what we had been through as a group, it was like we had been through 6 months of the training almost in that one day. And that was this feeling of like, yeah, this is edgy, and you don't know what's going to happen, but it keeps showing this, like, when you look where we are at the end, it's like, wow, like look where we've been. And yeah, there was no guarantee that we would have gotten here, but we are. And it's like, yeah, some bonds formed for life with people from that.
Do you have a sense of why it can be so triggering to people? Because I'll just preface that by saying, like, I'm notice it, just in our community, it feels like some people come in and they want to reject the idea. It's like if something makes them uncomfortable, it's like they're rejecting it or something. And it's like, here we are, we can circle this, and that there's like some hurdle that has to be taken in that moment of, oh, I can make object of not liking circling right now or whatever.
Right. And
I imagine you have way more perspective. I'd like really like to hear your take on it.
Well, I love the question, and I don't feel like I know, but what seems like you started to capture it there is this, it's like almost like all our ways of being, all our ways to know how to function and like think we have an idea of how to function and live life. A lot of those things will be like the opposite will be happening. The opposite will be happening in circling potentially. So all the mechanisms that of like my safety is based on this, my success, like all these things. If someone's staying in discomfort rather than speaking over it to manage it, it's going to touch the discomfort. It's going to like, what is going on here? And
yeah,
and that we do just, that's one of the, we just get good at being with whatever is rather than trying to take things a particular way, which is just seems to be a very well-worn path of how humans are.
Capacity. You build capacity around that, of the staying, because I'm recalling a recent instance where someone was really triggered in a circle, and I was feeling the intensity that person was experiencing, and how, you know, it was in the circle, like the intensity of that emotion and that like unease. And in that moment, that person was not, they were not able to handle it. They, you know, were talking over it and trying to, but there was like a way we were all in the circle catching it. Like we were catching it and holding it. And some of us had a built up capacity to like continue to hold it. And by the end and after, that person was actually, you know, I mean, they ended up crying and they ended up like staying. They almost left, but they stayed. And I, you know, I believe that over the next several days that they had like some significant insights. So it was like just this much, maybe capacity was built for them. But because there were people in the circle who had been walking that path and practicing that building of the capacity, it's like a net. It's like we were able, because there are so many people, like we're able to kind of spread it out and like wash it and then send it back or something. I don't know. It's like there's magic happening. Yeah.
Yeah, that resonates.
I'm noticing too, there's this way that the greater your capacity to stay with discomfort, that can maybe look different when you're stepping into circling for the first time. People just not just like absorbing a lot of discomfort might seem like they're like aliens who have landed on Earth and are wearing very convincing human suits and are just like, human emotions, you know? There's like a way that it can maybe read, if you don't know what's going on inside and you don't see the what led to that, I think capacity for discomfort can also read as like uncaring or
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, because you're breaking a certain social convention that is considered caring, and you're the leader. So what is going on here? Like, you need to be told to do the right thing. So the whole trigger becomes about you and what you're not doing right.
Yeah, and it takes a certain kind of compassion to stay with that. Yeah. Like, right? To know that this person is suffering and that, you know, you have these social ways that social norm ways that you could relieve them right now of their suffering. But there's like an actual compassion happening where you're like, I'm going to stay here.
Mm.
And that's going to be almost like a, like there's a way that can, you know, I don't know, like serving as a role model.
Totally.
In a way, you know, like, and maybe that person doesn't see that in that moment because they're super triggered, but that is hard. That is one of the harder things to do in circling.
I noticed that's like a high conscious element of what goes on. And then there's also, for me, in my experience at least, there's also this low conscious element of like, well, I'd love to help you out right now, but I'm kind of circling. I don't have the I can't just be talking about what the rules are and stuff. Like, I'm just tracking in me. Like, I'm all that shit's offline right now. There's like a way.
Right.
There's a way also where when people get a little lost in the early circles, and if I'm circling, this kind of, I would really like to hear your advice on this, because surrendered leadership includes the word leadership. But my experience in like in circles, yeah, when people are new and they don't know maybe what's going on and they're asking questions, and then I'm just kind of feeling that and disclosing what's happening in me as they're asking questions. The way I put it sometimes is it's like asking someone in a circle how to circle is like asking someone on mushrooms how to get to the grocery store. It's like, you're not like, that's not even, that's, yeah, that's like the wrong symbol set you've stepped into. yeah, anyway, I'm just like going off here, but
I know what you mean completely. And what comes up, like, agree with what you've said, but then there's, I guess there's something that, about innocence in it for me, of like something about that willingness to stay in connection with those people and find the compassion is that it's innocent. Like, those social norms have been life-saving for millions of people. And like, so that's what circling showed me, that like, yeah, it might get really hard and difficult, but like the harder and difficult it is in some ways, the more beauty there is on the other side when you like see what's actually going on and when you get that shared reality. So that holding of other people's innocence, but then it's also you as the leader, like sometimes I could know that, like, yeah, this is modeling a capacity for someone and that's the leadership. But often I don't even, like, we don't even have that much. It's like, it's more like we're daring to take this leap of faith. Mm-hmm. And we only do that because it has shown good results beforehand. But I don't necessarily know what's happening in this thing now. So kind of you're going into the real encounter of the complexity of meeting people. And that's what I love about it. That's what makes it a surrender every time. You can't go through the motions. And like, sometimes not giving guidance is the perfect key. And sometimes like not giving guidance is like you escaping something.
Yeah.
And it keeps evolving. Like, you can't rely on like the way you did it last time. And I love that, because then you get shown something new, like, oh, I would have done that last time, but I can see it's actually more my heart's more open not doing that. Like, what's going to happen now when I kind of surrender that last normal move? Like, where are we going to end up this time?
I fucking love circling. It's so good. Something that I was tracking and what you were saying was this element of circling. I don't know if I've ever put it in these terms, but that it's really, you're circling if you're making these choices that feel very true and very heart open, but also dangerous. Like, that you really are kind of risking, like, I don't know how this will end up because I'm making this choice. I'm like making an actual mindful, real new choice. And yeah, something you said about that, like, it's worked out before, but this is a new circumstance. There's something about that that adds an engagement and it adds these stakes that compound spiritual growth for me in a way that it's very rare. It's very special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, like, one of the first workshops Guy led, the first official circling workshop in Europe, Guy came over and led, and it was my friends who invited him over. And he was in a really tough time in his life at that moment, like really, really tough. And we weren't sure he was going to show up. And he kind of just managed to show up there. And he was not in a good state. And he kind of led the whole thing from this kind of like not giving a shit place or just raw. And it was similar to surrender leadership. It was like, what's in the space? Like, what's here? And I remember, like you just described, it was like, holy shit, this is actually real. This is like, yeah, we're in a workshop, but this is real life happening. And how I show up is going to affect how the whole, where, what we do and like how it goes. And like, wow, that's a real dynamic just started there. And it's suddenly like the light bulbs come on or something. And I don't know why they weren't there before, but it's like, just like you describe, it's like, wow, like everyone is invited to like fully participate, like for real.
Yeah.
And it's so refreshing. It's like, you can't really, once you're used to that, then the other stuff is like, it just seems a bit too top down maybe, or a bit too like controlled, or, and there's obviously a place for those kind of environments. But for me, it just, yeah, hit the spot of like, wow, this is alive. This is raw. This isn't someone going through the motions and someone who knows better just taking us through this thing. This is like, becomes a collective. I don't know the word. But it's down to us. What really goes on here?
Container is now closed. If you're loving this conversation, do not worry. We have not one, but two more episodes with John Thompson coming up. If you want to learn more about Circling Europe, go to circlingeurope.com. There you can get information on all of their upcoming events. And don't worry, if you don't live in Europe or you can't get to Europe by hook or by crook, they have plenty of online events going on too. They also have some really sick YouTube content, so check that out. But obviously, if you're on YouTube, you should be liking and subscribing this channel too, and then like and subscribe to them, and then, you know, all that. And you can also check out our website, thecontainerpod.com. We have a nice way of closing. Keep it namaste.